Welcome to the Windsor Podcast.
I don't know about you, but I got into this to help people. We need more openness and more transparency in government.
Here's your host, Mark McKenzie.
Yeah, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's edition of the Windsor Podcast. And yeah, I'm your host, Mark McKenzie, Ward 4 City Councillor. WindsorPodcast.com is where you can find us online, and make sure to subscribe through your favorite podcast app. That way you never miss an episode. Ward 7 Councillor Angelo Marignani going to be joining me on the show in just a couple minutes. First, I hope that you'll join me for my ward meeting happening Wednesday, October 11th at the Giovanni Caboto Club in Windsor, 6:30 till 8:30 p.m. Totally free to attend. And Windsor Mayor Drew Dilkins is going to be on hand. Members of City Administration, Windsor Police, 311, and more. So hopefully I will see you there. Again, Wednesday, October 11th, my Ward 4 meeting at the Giovanni Caboto Club starts at 6:30 p.m. If you want any more info, ward4windsor.com has everything that you need to know. And I do have my blog there as well, keeping you up to date on everything that's going on in Ward 4. Some of the things that have come up lately include me talking about my proactive bylaw report, which is going to be coming to council later on this year. That involves a proactive bylaw happening in our paved alleys, and also discusses my motion for the 72-hour priority booking for Windsor residents. So I'm not sure if you heard about this, but it happened a few weeks ago at City Council, and I asked that Windsor residents be given priority for applying to community programming, which is run at city-owned parks and facilities. So Windsor residents would get that 72-hour window to apply for programs before non-Windsor residents, and then after that 72 hours, those living in municipalities outside of Windsor would be given the opportunity to apply if spots are still available. So again, that's going to give that priority to those Windsor residents, which is something that I feel should have been done many, many years ago. So again, if you want to keep up to date on what's going on in Ward 4, again, ward4windsor.com is how you can do so. You can sign up for my newsletter there. You can contact me. And there's also links to the City of Windsor and 311, the podcast, and more info about me there also. So we do have a council meeting coming up on Monday, October 16th. I can't believe we're already in October. Man, this month is flying by. Not a ton coming up, actually, on the council meeting, though, that's going to be coming up on the 16th. However, one item that is on there is the development that was proposed for 1646 Alexis Road. Now, this did already go to Development and Heritage Committee. I voted against this development, mainly because I wanted a traffic study done and I wanted to have consultations with Parks and Rec. And I said, since this development is going to be right next to one of the larger parks in the city, Ford Test Track, and because there's so many events happening there, I thought that Parks should have some more input. There were some questions that I wanted to ask to Parks, because we've heard in the past where developments happen, you know, near golf courses, for example, and, you know, this person builds a new house next to a golf course, and then a year later they're complaining about golf balls in their backyard. And then it's like, well, yeah, you built a house next to a golf course. So with all the events, especially the soccer events that happen pretty much every night of the week in the summer, I want to make sure that we're at least, you know, covering ourselves here. And we're getting that input from Parks, because there's these bright lights. There's a lot of stuff that happens there, and it gets pretty loud sometimes. You have, you know, 1,000 people or more there every weekend, and sometimes every night of the week for the summer months. So again, I just want to make sure that that we're having those discussions with Parks. And then the traffic situation is already pretty bad in that area, and I want to make sure that those are some things that are going to be addressed as well. But it did end up passing at committee level, so I'm sure that there's going to be some discussion on this 1646 Alexis Road development. That's item 8.16, which is going to be coming to council on the 16th. And another one which may end up having some conversation is item 8.17, which is a development at 3251 Riverside Drive East. Some residents are pretty upset about that development that's going to be happening there. So I think there's going to be a bit of a conversation on that item. But those are really the only two, and maybe even item 10.1, which is the City of Windsor Heritage Recognition. That might spark some conversation as well, but nothing, you know, too controversial I'll get to the mailbag and give you more details on that coming up after we speak with Angelo, but I don't like to leave people waiting, and since Angelo is already here, let's get to it. Ward 7 counselor Angelo Marignani. So we had Ronaldo last week, and now we have the other Italian. There's a lot of Italians on council, we've realized. So there's you, there's Ronaldo, there's Fabio, and then I'm Italian. My last name, obviously, is not Italian, but my mom is Italian. My grandparents were born in Italy, you know, so I always say I'm more Italian than I am Scottish. Like, I know nothing about my Scottish or Irish heritage. I know everything about my Italian heritage. But I just don't have the Italian last name. But
right.
That's
and,
all right.
And you can't forget Counselor Counselor Francis married an Italian.
Married an Italian,
so,
yes.
So, yeah, you're yeah. right. There is an Italian influence on
yes.
this council.
Well, and I mean, Lebanese and Italian, it's pretty similar, especially like my wife's Sicilian, right? So Sicilians and Lebanese are very, very alike.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So a lot of similarities there. Hmm. Just get close to the mic, otherwise it won't pick you up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Beautiful.
Thank
so,
you.
So Ward 7 Councillor Angelo Marignani. Let's first off, I mean, six times running. I know everybody always brings that up. Sixth time was a charm for you.
Yeah, it was. And thank you to all the people who believed in me and just had those numbers increase every time.
So born in Windsor, right?
Born and raised in Windsor.
Yep. And then, but you moved to Japan for a little bit.
That's right.
Talk about that.
After I graduated from the University of Windsor, the economy in Windsor wasn't so good back in at that time. 1990, you were seeing a lot of the automotive crisis going on as well as the housing crisis. So there was a few sort of, well, where do I want to start? So a friend of mine came back from Tokyo and put the idea in my head, and I went there, and I only intended on staying for a year or so, but it was an amazing experience, a very enlightening experience to see a culture and society so much in the future. And that's what you really saw. You saw transportation, all the things that we're dealing with now. You saw it in its ideal model at the time. So for me, that was fascinating. So I ended up staying there for quite a few years, I think 7 in total. Hmm. And, you know, the money was good. I was sending money back every month. And but there was one thing that in that travel, in that sort of amazing time where you are in the future, you are seeing a perfect society, one that works together, one that's for the common good. There was that sort of desire for that sort of true spirit, that grit spirit, that human that's kind of Windsor, Detroit.
Yep.
So I came back and after my time there, and I started a small business with the money that I saved.
That would be milk?
Milk coffee bar, yeah. And that went on for quite a few years as well.
Nice. Anyone that I know that's been to Japan, I know people who were born and raised there and then came to Canada as well, and they all say the same thing. They say it's one of the cleanest places you'll ever go.
By far.
And like you said, they're just so much ahead of us. And it always makes me wonder, like, why is, like, especially nowadays where we're so connected, right? And it's instant. You know what's happening. I mean, you see it now with what's going on, you know, in Israel, and everything's instant though, right? And it's like, okay, well, if there's that technology there, why isn't it here? Because it's still like that, right? Like, maybe not as much of that gap, but there's still things that are happening, you know, in Japan, especially technology-wise, that they're still light years ahead of us.
Right. There's a lot of reasons for it, too. For example, many head corporations are located in Japan.
Sure.
So if one head or CEO wants to speak to another CEO, the mm-hmm. meeting is set up in 20 minutes.
In person. Right,
so,
as opposed to
so
Zoom.
So there's a certain efficiency in their policymaking because of their proximity and collecting all that corporate headquarters in one location. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that make it sort of unique. But I mean, Windsor, there's something about Windsor that makes it even more unique. Our diversity. I think another reason why I think maybe they had that ability to advance themselves as a society is because 98% of the society thinks the same way.
Right.
So one of our biggest problems is lack of cooperation because you're different. You're wrong. And that's slowing us down. It really, really is. Because it takes away the focus that is needed to create a better policy. And yeah. It distracts it and it slows it down. So I think one of their secrets to success is that homogeneous thought of betterment, where here we have a bit of a competitive action. And I think the competitive action takes away from our overall growth.
Which I'm okay with competitiveness, though. I think it's good to be competitive. But there's also, again, that, hey, let's find the compromise maybe here. Right.
Right.
And exactly. I know that, you know, I mentioned it with Ronaldo is, you know, previous councils even, you saw that there were, you know, some members who just, no matter what, it's like, you're voting yes, I'm voting no. You're voting no, I'm voting yes. I don't even care. I'm not going to side with you on certain things. And I feel like this council that we have, we all talk to each other. We all get along, you know, before the meetings, we're all up at our offices and we're, you know, having coffee and laughing. And
even before,
the mayor comes
even
in
before
there.
this podcast, we're talking about the items that are on, you know, the upcoming agenda. So there is that sort of, you're absolutely correct. There is a level of cooperation that I think is refreshing to see in our council. And I think that cooperation speaks to the secret of Japan. Where there is, we have to remove that division. We have to sort of work together for the betterment because there is the possibility of that improvement.
So, again, you ran six times. What made you first off want to run for council the first time? And then what made you keep running? You know, I think, you know, there's some people you see them run maybe twice and then it's like, all right, I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to win. You kept going.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not giving up until I get this seat.
Right. Winners never quit and quitters never win. It's quite simple.
Yeah.
But I think the incubus of all that sort of political ambition comes from having a small business. So Japan was the sort of, wow, this is what a city can be. So I kind of brought that to Milk, where you had, you know, a live house, a gallery. You had multiple streams of... attraction. And that was part of the success, putting it all into one area. And while you're there, you kind of see the city as a whole. So first you're looking at your own personal space and yeah, this is nice. And then you look outside of your space and you're like, well, this can be way better. I've seen models, best practices that, you know, this is the way they do it. And it's way better than what we have. So I started with the BIA, once again, growing from my area and being vice chair of that and a few other positions while I was on there. And then it just, the opportunity came up when we switched from 5 wards to 10 wards.
Yep.
And that brought the sort of, okay, let's bring this to the next level. So you have your personal space, then you have your neighbor space, and then you have the overall space. You know, we can make this way better. And that was probably the first inspiration to say, okay, let's run. And that was against Percy Hatfield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was great.
And Percy ended up, he was already in that seat or he won that first election?
He was reelected again.
Okay, so you ran against incumbent.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And
then
he ran for MPP.
Correct.
Eventually.
And then started the whole.
Yes. There was
by-election.
The by-election.
Yeah. And the first one, it was a difference. It was tied at the 11th poll. It was
tied at the 11th poll.
Yeah,
really?
1,140 or something.
Oh, wow.
I believe. Don't quote me on that number.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyways, so it came down to the very last poll.
Wow.
Yeah, and Kuzmierczyk threw, you know, he won.
Yep.
He won it. And after that, it just said, well, you know, I'm not giving up on my dream. I mean, I'm here, and now I have kids, so it's like we have to sort of look out for them. And now I have aging parents, and we have
right.
to look out for them. So, you know, continue on, and continue with the dream.
That's good, though. And again, I think, you know, some of those people give up, and you didn't give up, and, you know, sixth time, and you ended up winning with It wasn't close. Like, me and Ronaldo both had very close races.
Yeah.
You won with a good amount of votes. There was, it was, what, a thousand? No, was it a thousand? It was at least a couple hundred.
Yeah,
I should have
it was like 800. It was a significant amount.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you won.
Yeah.
You definitely won.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
What are your goals, I guess, for this term? I know that there were a lot of things that, you know, you've been speaking about for a long time. Sandpoint Beach was one of them.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I mean, my first priority is the residents. So my first goal is to make those connections, solve that concern, and move on to the next one. As you're well aware of, every day there's a new one.
Yeah.
So there's that primary concern of just serving the residents and improving that betterment of their life. And then there's the area concern, and that's Sandpoint Beach. That's our growth and
yep.
development, our infrastructure, our roads. Road safety is really, really big. Because we have so much growth that's happening in the East End, there's a lot of truck traffic. There's a lot of new traffic, and people aren't used to that. And they're used to, you know, being a little more carefree. So now it really requires them to be a little more careful. But in doing so, I mean, we have an obligation to improve that common use area, that area that we're responsible for, our roads, our parks, our beaches, and make them better.
Yeah.
So the first priority would be the residents. The second priority would be the ward itself, East Riverside and Forest Glade. And the third priority would be the city as a whole.
Well, let's talk about your ward a little bit, because you got a lot going on again, and you mentioned some of it, but you got the battery plant.
Yes.
You got major development.
Yes.
Going on.
Major.
In your ward. Like, I think it was it a week or two ago, a development in Heritage. I want to say, like, almost every development that we spoke about was in your ward.
Yeah.
And so how do you address that? Because there's always those residents who are afraid of development, and I see both sides of it, right? I do. You know, there's people who've been there for, you know, 50, 60 years, and they're like, well, I bought this home because of where it was situated, and because, you know, at the time, there wasn't a lot of development, right? It was almost right on the outskirts of the city, and now you see this development coming in. So I see their argument, but I also see the other side, where I'm like, well, we're a growing city. We need to be building more homes. There's a demand for housing. Do you need those 10, 12-story condos or apartment buildings that are butting up right against some, you know, single-family residentials? So again, I see both sides of it. I really do. And I feel for the residents, especially when, you know, it's that 80 or 90-year-old grandparent who's coming and is crying, right? And they're sometimes, I'm just like, oh my gosh, we need to be able to sleep at night.
Right.
And that's what I've always said. I'm like, I need to be able to sleep at night. And that's one of the hardest parts of the job, is when there's, sometimes it's like, there's nothing I can do, right? It's like, even, and we try to say this at the development and heritage meetings, especially, and we say, look, like, even if we deny this project, they can, it that first goes to council, it could pass at council, and if council then votes it down, they can then appeal, they can go to the province, and the province is probably going to approve it anyway.
Right.
So there's not much that we can do. So I, as we've been trying to do, is we're like, can you bring it down a little bit? Can you maybe, you know, shift it this way? Can you turn it? Can you, you know, so we try to find compromises,
right,
as we spoke about. But how are you juggling that, you know, when you have these residents who voted for you, and now there's these major, major developments coming up in your ward, especially along Banwell, and how do you juggle that? Like, how do you keep the resident happy but also help the city grow?
And you're,
it's a tough question.
It's an extremely, well, yeah, it's a very tough question, but it's what the job requires. So at that point in time, I think what you need to do is, once again, it goes to the secret success of Japan, which all starts with that communication. You meet with that individual, you meet with the developer, And you find where the areas, where their range is, what they accept and what they don't accept. And then you look at the possible gray areas that are covered in both of those requests. So, yeah, we want development, but we don't want, shadows, or we don't want something that is not aesthetically pleasing. We want, we love our nature. We love our trails. Well, we're very fortunate that we have these trails and these parks, East Riverside Park, Sandpoint Beach, Optimist Park. These are some of the best parks in the city. So let's see where there is that area. And maybe there's even the possibility of improving the area as a result. And this came up in the last development meeting where, residents really wanted a convenience store. We don't have a convenience store in East Riverside. There is not one. And it's a simple request. So, okay, and this is now a mixed use. Well, can we put a convenience store in there? And there it doesn't become such a negative, and that only comes out of communication. So once again, it goes back to, I think, which is really important in municipal politics, is hearing everyone's concern, everyone's aspiration, and kind of merging that together. But I'm also, it has to be beautiful. It has to be attractive. It has to be something that, looks good in the neighborhood. So let's have the trees. Let's have the privacy fences. Let's have the facade with, intricate brickwork or something that is aesthetically pleasing that I think is an important factor as well. We have to make it beautiful.
I've always said, I'm not against development, but it needs to be responsible development.
Right.
And I think most of us will agree with that, it's fine. Development, okay, I get it, but let's be responsible about it too.
Right,
let's make
right.
sure that we're not negatively impacting other residents, that we're not negatively impacting even the road, right? With, if it's going to negatively impact that neighborhood, well, how do we fix that? And again, you mentioned communication.
Right.
I think we've all expressed our frustration with the communication in this city and the communication at City Hall, communication sometimes with the developers talking to those residents. There is a major communication problem in this city. And it's not just this city. I mean, you see it everywhere. I worked for two of the largest communications companies in the country. They had communications issues. So that's how it is. And that's something that needs to be fixed, because I always say, if you can get ahead of it, most of the time, 90% of those issues can be resolved. People just like to be in the know. They don't want to be taken by surprise.
100%.
So let's make sure that we have these, open lines of communication, that we're getting ahead of things before it becomes an issue.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's what our jobs are. Our jobs are basically to be that connection between the resident and administration. We counsel that request. And I think it's important, like you said, it's all about communication. So having that, seeing all the cards on the table in front of you, you're allowed to make a better choice on what you want in comparison to having them all stacked. So it's basically having a good understanding, or trying to have a good understanding, doing your due diligence and trying to make the choice that it improves the betterment of your community and the quality of life of your residents. And you're right, it's a challenge at times. I mean, I'm concerned about with growth, with, expanded growth, there's always changes to the neighborhood. And you want to mitigate those changes, but you also want to be ensured that your sewers are working. When you flush your toilet, it goes down. You don't flood. Traffic's going to be a concern for Windsor because we are growing. And it's something that we haven't really seen since the 50s, this type of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, we have this growth. There are going to be more people on the road. So our police has to be a little more effective in educating, people who aren't so familiar with the rules of the road to ensure that these public areas are safer. And then what happens there when that part of the equation becomes good, you can then focus on the other parts of the equation that eventually bring your city to a level where people come here and say, wow, this is a great place. And it really is. I mean, our waterfront is second to none. I've been around the world. We have the best waterfront in the world. We really do.
Yep.
Like, just, I love the grasslands.
Oh, yeah.
You can set up, you know, you can do whatever you want. It's not so concrete jungle-like. Yep. And we have to sort of, we have to work with that. And, you know, maybe the next step, the fourth priority, is international relations. And I believe that we have a lot that we can gain from Detroit in examples of best practices, as well as a 7 million person market less than an hour away from our downtown. So by having that sort of, as a counselor, I think it first starts with your residents. It then goes to, or it starts with your yourself. And then it goes to your residents, and then it goes to the citywide, and then it goes to an international sort of, okay, so this is a bigger game. We can do this as well.
Right.
Right. And, you know, it's really not that hard. It's just having the political will to do so.
You mentioned traffic calming. We've had many discussions about traffic calming.
Yeah.
And I know we're both in favor of the automated speed radar enforcement.
Yes.
That is something that I'm hoping comes sooner rather than later. I've heard it from a lot of residents as well. I've spoken to Shauna, one of our traffic engineers, who's amazing. And I know that I've at least had these conversations, and I think she's discussed it with some other counselors as well. And I've even discussed this with the mayor, and I've said, look, let's get these, you know, automated speed radar enforcement cameras up at least around schools first.
Right.
Let's have every school zone should have these.
Right.
Like, right there. Done. We're
Bingo.
Doing it. Traffic calming all around our schools.
Yeah.
You know, like in the States where, you know, it's a school, it's school hours. You have the flashing light. When that light's flashing, fines are doubled. You know, we have these cameras, and that's how we're going to, and we have, traffic calming, other traffic calming initiatives as well. But I know a lot of people don't like the speed bumps. I get it too. It's funny. We just installed a bunch of speed bumps on Kildare.
Yeah. And I just came down, and let me tell you, I slowed down. It works. And these are one of the tools in our tool bag. And we were elected by residents with a primary concern on controlling traffic. So this is one of the options that we pull out. Yeah, it is. You do have to go slow. But as I'm passing the schoolyard that's filled with kids, there's the reminder. That's the reason we're doing it, to make our city safer.
But here's the problem.
Okay. Here's the challenge. It's not a problem.
Here's the challenge.
Right. Here's the challenge.
So speed bumps go in. And they've been in, what, 2 weeks?
Yep.
Maybe three?
Yep.
So I've already heard from dozens of residents.
Yes.
Some say, they're amazing. Thank you for putting them in. Others say, they're not big enough. People are still speeding down the streets.
Okay.
Others say, they're too big. They're ruining my car.
Right.
Others are saying, now the traffic is speeding down Chilver and Lincoln instead, because now they're avoiding Kildare.
Leaf blowing.
Which, yeah. I mean, that's
I can
true.
See that.
And
I
even
can
administration
see that.
Says, well, look, if you put in these speed bumps, you're going to get revving engines in between the speed bumps, because then it's like people speed in between the speed bumps, and then you're going to get the traffic onto the side streets, you know? So these are some of the issues with the speed bumps. So I've said, unless you put speed bumps on every single street, that's not going to fix anything. But I guess we could say the same thing about the speed radar cameras, is that if those aren't on every street either, are you going to change? You know what I mean? So
right, but there is a version of that is portable as of now.
Oh, yeah, and they've said they'll move them around, and then you almost never know where they're going to be, but
exactly.
There's still the signage, and, you know.
It's just one part of traffic
Absolutely.
Enforcement. There's
sure.
there's the engineering part.
Yep.
there's the enforcement part and there's the education part. So as a city, we are in charge of the engineering, enforcement, and education. And we have to, it's not just one simple, okay, we put in speed bumps, everyone slows down.
Right.
It's a whole process. Better signage, flex signage, you know, there's other options.
Like the flex posts?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bump outs. There's things that can cause people to slow down.
Narrower streets.
Narrower
streets. And the city's been widening streets. I don't know if you noticed. They did it to my road 2 years ago when they redid my road. They widened the road, I think, by a foot on each side.
Wow.
And they said it was because of emergency vehicles.
And that's safety. And, okay, if that is a concern. Safety vehicles in, you know, have to be able to access that instance.
But I also was like, okay, well then why didn't you put sidewalks in? You know, if you want to, every residential road should have sidewalks. But then you run into, oh, well, you want sidewalks? Well, the residents have to pay for them. I'm like, come on. You're making residents pay for sidewalks? Like, yeah, I pay for the sidewalks and my taxes.
Right.
I've always said there's policies of the city that I don't agree with, just like lights. You know, like if you want lights in your paved alley, the residents have to pay for those.
Well, I mean, that's part of what we were elected to. We create policy, so we can change that policy.
And that's these, I agree, these are things, so, but you know, are we going to have the votes? I don't know. Especially when it comes to alley lighting. I mean, it's an uphill battle with alleys because there's a lot of councilors who are like, I don't have alleys. I don't care.
We don't have. Well, we have a few, but very few.
Yeah. So although I think that even that's turning a little bit too, like the whole alley thing. But yeah, going back to traffic calming, I mean, it's a tough one and it's not something we're going to fix overnight.
Definitely. No, but it's that three-part approach. And I think we have to look at all. You know, better signage, better enforcement, better
education.
Yeah.
Big time education.
Yes.
That, I think, every
campaigns. We can invest in campaigns or, you know, just, you know, on AM 800, just a reminder, traffic reminder of the day. You know, it's.
Yeah.
And people are driving and they're listening to it. So you have that target market.
Yep. Yeah. And more social media stuff, you know, targeted social media. I like even when you're sending out the tax slips, you know, we put stuff in there. Let's throw some education items in there. Like, hey, like, remember to slow down. Because that's the other stat that we hear is, you know, 90% of the people speeding down your street actually live in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other problem. So then it's like, how do we convince our friends and our neighbors to stop speeding down our own streets? You got to have those conversations with them.
Right. And you, typically it was enforcement. Enforcement was the big one.
Yeah.
And what happened was, you know, that budget got shrunk. That budget got reverted to other concerns that are now a concern for our city. Safety.
Yep.
Petty crimes, opportunist crimes.
Yep,
mental health,
and addiction, and
so now we don't have so many officers patrolling. We have them dealing with other things. Maybe this is something that we have to look at budget time, dedicating officers specifically to traffic enforcement, and that is your job.
Yep.
And what happens is people start talking. I just got, you know, a $250 ticket for speeding down. Da da da.
Yep.
And that's. You initially, it's kind of like removing a bandage.
Yep.
You know, it hurts at first, but little by little, people understand I can't speed or I have to be careful.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I can't use my phone when driving.
There's, and I've been speaking with Craig Robertson.
Yes.
At Bylaw about this.
Hmm.
So what they've done in Alberta, and they've done it in a couple of municipalities in British Columbia as well, is that they've given their bylaw officers more power. So what do they call them? I think like community safety officers or something.
Right.
And so they can actually like write tickets now. And I've said, well, is this an option? Like maybe this is something we look into. And I know that in BC, the unions flipped out over it. But look, we have a job to do, all right? And I'm not in this to please the unions. I'm a union supporter. I always have. I was a union member for 20 plus years.
Current 444 member here.
Yeah, buddy. I was a 444 member, a UFCW, a CDP, a SAG-AFTRA. I was union rep. When I was in PEI, I literally brought a union into the shop. I'm pro-union, but these community safety officers can write parking tickets. They can write speeding tickets. They have like pepper spray on them. So they're, they can walk the parks. And so they're not just bylaw, but they're also almost like police officers.
Right.
Right. And maybe that's something that we need to look into.
I like the idea of expanding the eyes.
Well, that's what it is, right? Because right now we're hearing from Windsor Police, well, we don't have the manpower to be sitting at a corner all day and doing speed radar, right? We only have two officers in the traffic enforcement division I don't know if that's what it is, but I'm just saying, or two vehicles. And, sometimes they get pulled to other things. If there's, if there's a car accident, well, now they have to go to that.
Right.
And if there's there's someone downtown waving a machete, well, all officers are going to be down there for that, right? So I think that maybe this is another step to like, hey, here's another way just to get more eyes and have that car driving up and down the neighborhood, just keeping an eye on things, which again is another reason I went for the proactive bylaw in our paved alleys.
Right.
And we should be getting a report on that coming up later on this year. But that's something that Leamington's been doing for a while now. And they said it's such a success. They now have bylaw officers on bikes, right? And it's just that person in that uniform that is not only going to, take care of some of the minor issues, but hey, maybe even, if there's that criminal who's walking through the alley, maybe they're going to be like, ooh, it's all about eyes and ears, right? And the more people, the more eyes you have on something, the less issues there's going to be, ideally, right?
People act differently when there's a camera on
Absolutely. When people, you see it in downtown Detroit, too, with Project Green Light. It's like, oh, I see that green light. Well, I mean, I'm not going to do anything bad because I know I'm being watched.
Right. I mean, you can even take that, make a Windsor solution to have our transit system have cameras on it. Cameras looking at the streets that maybe use some sort of technology that will identify speeding cars or vehicles.
Right.
I mean, you could take it. I agree with you that the eyes and the ears are an important component of enforcement. I'm sure there's in the future there will be some sort of technology that will sort of help with that, and maybe the movable photo radar is part of that. But it also boils down to the residents as a whole, and I think their ability to communicate that concern and have some sort of immediate response to it. I think that's the next level of this challenge, and that I think you're absolutely correct. It's all about the front line, and the front line are the residents, are the people, our neighbors, the people that we're here for. And maybe some tool that allows them that sort of instant input, which allows instant response. Hopefully we'll get to that point, but as of now, it is a challenge. How do we enforce the laws we create? And it's important that they are enforced, because I think that's also a reason why people speed. It says, 50 kilometers an hour. I can do 55, 60, 70, and I can do that for a long time, and nobody does anything. So if this law isn't being enforced, well, maybe other laws aren't being enforced.
Right.
So you get that sort of disregard to guidelines, and you get a gray area becoming even more gray and growing. And then you get the thrill seeker who challenges it to the most.
Mm-hmm.
And we see some of them in our police posts, doing 170.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
So it's a challenge. It really is. But that's our job. That's what we're doing. And, we have to look at that challenge. And I'm so happy to have the ability to communicate with each and every colleague on our council, and as well as administration. That, I think, is important, and it goes back to what we started with. It's all about communications. It's all about having those networks that allow you to see options where normally if you don't have those networks, you would never figure it out.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And me and Ronaldo spoke about this as well. He just got back from Chicago. We had a conference in Chicago all about downtowns.
Nice.
And we spoke about how we went to AMO and speaking with other elected officials and administration from different municipalities, you get ideas, right?
Yeah.
Like even just talking to our council colleagues, I know we sit on IRCA together.
Yeah.
And then I'm also on the solid waste board. And you get to talk to, you know, councilors and administration from LaSalle and Amherstburg and Tecumseh and Lakeshore and Leamington. And you are like, oh, well, again, well, going back to the, you know, I talked to Hilda about the proactive bylaw enforcement. There's, you know, I always bring up that example, but, you know, that's how I found out about, I was like, hey, Hilda, I think I heard something like you guys have proactive bylaw. And she's like, yes, we do. And so now we're setting up a meeting to talk to them. Like, how do you guys do it? How did you go about it? What were some of the challenges you faced, right? And you get the same thing at AMO when you're talking to counselors from Ottawa or Toronto or London or Kitchener, right? And so it's good to have those connections because sometimes you need to call one of them up and be like, hey, what are you guys doing, you know, with this? Or what are you doing with that? Like Kitchener has the mini homes for, you know, homeless individuals.
Right.
Or they have these mini houses and they have like a whole area where there's, you know, dozens and dozens of these mini homes. So I've called and said, hey, like, how's that working out? Is it a positive thing, or are you seeing, you know, what are some of the issues you're running into, right? So it's good to have those resources. So yeah, again, the collaboration is definitely key in this job.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. With anything in life.
Well, yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
Like just talking it out. I mean, we're so lucky to live here in Windsor, Ontario, when you look at worldwide concerns.
Yep.
Thanksgiving just passed, and I think we need to have gratitude. We need to realize that we are not so different after all, and we are lucky to be in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And only then, I think, can we move to the next level.
Yeah.
So it goes back to the very beginning of this podcast, where that division is slowing our progress down.
Yeah.
So we have to remove that division. Empathize and realize that we all want the same thing, and that is the improvement of quality of life, the betterment of our city, and just the advancement of Windsor as a whole on an international scale.
So you're busy. I'm not going to keep you here all day, but before you go...
No, you know, I'm just joking.
I just want to say, okay, so, you know, we're about a year in, almost.
Yeah.
So... what have been the best things about the job, and what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've found?
Oh, by far the best thing about the job is when a resident calls you up with a concern, you then make the calls, and you resolve the issue, and then you get the call from the resident just thanking you for that. That is by far, you make yourself happy, but what really makes yourself happy is when other people are happy around
you. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you're like, this is great.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. And it's happened to me about 300 times so far, which is a very, very good feeling. That's the biggest joy of this job. And the second part of that question was the...
Well, what's the hardest thing about the job? Or I guess the thing maybe you dislike most.
When you don't do that. When you don't do that because of factors that are out of your control,
yes,
or jurisdiction.
Yes, I was going to say, the ones that are out of your control, that's what I always find the worst too. Because there's a lot that is out of our control. And it's like, I wish I could help you. I honestly, there's nothing I can do. Either, hey, this policy states otherwise, and then you try to change the policy, which... you know, I'm trying to do with a couple of things right now.
Or things that are at a provincial or federal level.
I mean,
and we can advocate for those, and we have been.
Yeah.
So, I mean, or when you can't see everyone, another down part is you have conflicts in your schedule. So you want to go to, you know, let's say this church get-together, but at the same time you want to go to this... park get together,
right?
And you have to make that choice.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, you don't want to.
Yeah.
You want to go to both. And what I'm learning is you can. You basically, you just don't stay so long. You just, I got to go now.
Me and you are bad at that where we can't, like Ronaldo's great at it where he's like, 15 minutes, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, I got to
go somewhere else.
Ci vediamo, bello.
Yeah, me and you, I think, are bad at that where we just, you know, we feel bad and we don't want to leave and we're talkers too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even at the door, I found that was my, I guess, not it wasn't a bad thing, but that was that one of the things that, you know, some of the quote experts would tell me. And they're like, you're spending too long at the door, you know, two minutes and gone.
You
and
just
I'm like,
run
I can't
that
spend
vote.
Just two.
You just, no.
Well, yeah, I'm like, no. Like, there were doors I spent 25 minutes at and in an in-depth conversation. And I can't just be like, oh, sorry, 2 minutes is up. I got to go.
Right.
But then, you know, there were some days where I could only allocate 2 hours. And it's like, well, now I just spent 25 minutes at this one door, you know? Like,
right.
I'd come home some days from canvassing and Jen's like, oh, how many doors did you hit? I'm like, I only got a block. She's like, what do you mean you only hit up a block?
Right.
You were out for 3 hours. I'm like, yeah, but everyone wanted to talk.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you spend 20 minutes at every door. It's like, well, I'm not going to tell people no. Like, sorry, I'm too busy. I got to go.
Right.
That's
right,
just
right.
Not me. Even on the phone, I'm like that. When I call residents back, there's other counselors who are like, no, you got to just tell them, get to the issue. And I'm like, no, like, I'm on the phone with you. Mm. Like, you have my full attention. If it takes an hour to talk to me, all right, it's an hour.
Yeah, but yeah, and you're right. And also, you just some people just want to talk.
Oh, some
in
people
sense,
just need to talk.
And you know what? There's situations where just listening,
yep,
making that human connection, and you know, coming up with what you think the answer is or how a solution could be found. Sometimes, you know, that's what we need.
Yep.
Because maybe, once again, it goes back to that division. People aren't allowed to talk.
Right.
You know, it's, and people are afraid to talk. So it shouldn't be that way. It should be, because that's really what's slowing us down.
Yeah.
So we need better communication and understanding and empathy for everyone that you speak to. Because, you know, we're all important in that sense.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's interesting. It's a good time. It definitely is. I'm really proud of our city. I really am. And I know the next, let me tell you, 3 years are going to be amazing as far as growth is concerned.
They're going to fly by.
As
this first year flew by.
Yeah. As far as, you know, advancements in our city.
Lots coming.
There is a lot coming. And that's great. I mean, like I said, we haven't seen this since the 50s.
Yep.
So to have this sort of growth, I think... it's our job to make sure that at the end of the day, we make a beautiful city of Windsor that we can all be proud of.
There you go. Beautiful. Beautifully said. There you go. Ward 7 Councillor Angelo Marignani, thanks for joining me today, man.
Well, thank you, Mark. Anytime. And let me tell you, the studio is very, very cool.
Well,
I love
you.
The acoustic walls and everything.
Yeah, it's my home away from home in my home. Yeah, it's pretty good. I enjoy it down here. So this is where I come when I need to just get away sometimes or I just need to focus. But
this
it does
is a good
get warm
reading space. Do you read the agenda down here?
I read all, yeah,
oh,
all the agendas
for sure.
Down here. Yeah.
Because so. It's absolutely quiet
it
here.
It is. It's very, very quiet. But
that's
it gets
nice.
A bit warm. That's the only bummer.
Okay.
The only bummer. But again, Ward 7 Councillor Angelo Marignani. Thanks again, man, for coming in.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. So before we go, I want to talk about the mailbag. That's something that I want to be doing weekly here on the show where you send in your questions and I answer them. The easiest way to do that is just to send them online over at windsorpodcast.com. There's a contact section right at the top in the bar. You can click on that and you can send me your questions that way. And I also get questions all the time through my email at mmckenzie@citywindsor.ca and on social media. And so I've already been getting a lot of questions since I was elected regarding dumping. And that's something that I'm hoping to address with the proactive alley bylaw enforcement, which again is something that we've discussed numerous times here on the show. We talked about it today too with Angelo. But again, that's something that I'm hoping to address. So the problem is right now is that say somebody dumps garbage or a couch, or a mattress on your property, you as the homeowner or the property owner are the one who's responsible to now get rid of that. you know, I go back and forth with that bylaw. I go back and forth with that policy, and I can see both sides of it. I don't love it, but I've always told individuals, look, at least the ones in my ward, I say, look, if you are a victim of somebody dumping garbage or something on your property, contact me. mmckenzie@citywindsor.ca. Send me pictures if you can. Let me know where it's at, and I will do my best to take care of it. I always do. There's dumping that happens all over the city. I get lots of dumping in my ward, and I always try to get somebody to take care of it. Normally, I rely on Angelo at the Good Neighbor Services. He's amazing, and he's normally out there within like the hour to get rid of the garbage or, you know, whatever was dumped. So please feel free to email me, mmckenzie@citywindsor.ca. If there is somebody dumping on your property and you're in my ward, please let me know. I know that Ronaldo relies on Angelo as well, and I think a few other of us counselors do. I think Fabio, and he's been doing this for years. So, you know, doesn't charge. Now, there are some things that are just sometimes way too big that he's not able to take care of. If that's the case, we'll try to figure something else out. But I've always said it's not fair that the resident has to pay for something that they didn't dump. Now, unfortunately, you have, you know, some bad landlords out there who a tenant moves out, maybe they leave stuff, they throw everything in behind or, you know, in the alley, and then they expect somebody else to get rid of it, right? Now, they could just say, hey, somebody dumped that there, and expect the city to take it away for free. And I think that's originally why this policy changed. You know, there's always those few bad apples that kind of ruin it for everybody. But again, if somebody dumps something on your property, let me know. I'll do my best to get rid of it. The other question I get a lot is regarding the speed hump survey. So I'm sure you've seen, you know, signs go up in the neighborhood and it says, you know, a survey is being conducted and there's a link and it says, go vote whether you want speed bumps or you don't want speed bumps. And then I hear from residents saying, hey, there was a speed bump survey and I don't know how it turned out. What are the results? Where do I find that? So I'm going to tell you right now, it's a little confusing. Our City of Windsor website is sometimes confusing to manage, even as a counselor. You got to do a little digging. All right. So here's what I'm going to tell you to do. All right. Go to citywindsor.ca. At the top, it says for residents. Click on traffic and parking. Once you click on that, on the left-hand side, you'll see local road speed hump survey results. You can click on that, and there you go. You can even, there's a search bar there, so you can type in Kildare, for example, and it shows up Kildare from Richmond Street to Ottawa Street, and it'll show the start date, the end date, and then it says whether it passes or fails. That one passed. And it says overall percentage of support obtained, 57.6%. Support required, 50%. Shows you the letter, the map, all of that's there. If you want an easier way to do it, you could always just type in Google speed bump survey Windsor, and it's the first one that comes up. I find that's easier sometimes to just do that Google search. So there's two questions answered for you today, but please send in your questions. Again, you can just send them through the website, windsorpodcast.com. You can also email me, mmckenzie@citywindsor.ca. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Windsor Podcast. Again, don't forget to hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app. That way you never miss an episode. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Windsor Podcast, windsorpodcast.com for more information, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Windsor Podcast. Find more at windsorpodcast.com.